I'm Freshly Squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Oh, what have we here?
Go fuck yourself.
And I am a sports entertainer.
Welcome, everybody, to Eat Sleep Elite. I am one of your hosts, Charlie, joined as always by the ultimate good brother, Bane Duke. Duke, how you doing today as we're talking Continental Classic?
I don't feel as dead as yesterday, so that's step
Let's
one.
Go.
You know, so
that's a sign in the right direction.
Hopefully I'm not dead all weekend. At least I have like 4 days off coming up, which is fucking lit, you know.
We got some American Turkey Week.
Yeah.
So
the most fucking worthless holiday of all time.
No offense. Today, guys, is not a traditional Eat Sleep Elite show. It's kind of a what we used to call the ESE minis, if you will. And it's more or less, it's just a one singular focal point. And we're talking about
doing enough episodes to not really need. We used to do these on a lot of times when we knew we weren't going to have the time to record. Like if we were going to have to do the truncated episode or something, we would toss one of these in there. Or sometimes we'll do that with the predictions. And, you know, it was mostly a predictions and reactions thing for a while with these minis, you know. But now we have these opportunities. We kind of missed. We were going to do one more this year that we didn't do, which was the women's tag division, but that shit just didn't. They waited, so we had to wait to do.
Yeah. And so what we kind of do on today's show is for the Continental Classic, it's kind of safe to say like one of our favorite things on the AEW calendar year.
It's my favorite thing of the year by far.
It is.
I mean,
yeah,
everything else that happens throughout the year is cool, but like what it makes me realize is that like because who's having a good year and who's done what and who's stood out. That's who's going to be in these tournaments no matter what. And you can literally look at all the people on both sides of the bracket here. All of them have done really good stuff all year.
Yeah.
Every single one of them has a match you could consider a match of the year contender. Like, it's pretty crazy.
And it kind of takes over 5 weeks of television. So what we like to do with this tournament is do a little preview beforehand where we pick our predictions of the finals and who's going to win. And then at the end, when it's all said and done and little time's passed, we do like a Continental Classic recap. And we've done that now. Both years. So yeah, this is it's one of the most enjoyable things on television. It's a 5 week tournament that is going to be an absolute blast this year. But before we get into our predictions, we're going to talk about each member that is in this goddamn tournament because it's so damn good. And Duke, I'm tossing it to you first here today as you will introduce us. Let's talk about the Blue League a little bit, huh?
Welcome to the Blue League.
All right.
It's the Running Man. I'm speaking of the Running Man. Anyway, yeah. So I'm just going to say, I like both leagues, but I think this league on paper is fucking nuts. Opening it up, we got my fucking guy, the guy I fucking hated when I first started watching this show. It's one of my favorite things I love to reference about this because wrestling fans, it's just, A, it shows how fucking fickle we are, but also it just shows how wrestling is so beautiful. It can just take you on a journey that you might fucking hate something when you first see it and you're like, you know, honestly, this is really fucking brilliant, you know? So anyway, so we got Orange Cassidy, my fucking personal like favorite, just non like, I mean, I guess he is a main eventer, especially getting put in this, but like, you know, he doesn't really get, he could also be in the mid card and it's just fine, but he feels still at that same level. That's what I love about Orange Cassidy, why he deserves to be in this tournament. We got fucking bald and angry himself, Claudio Castagnoli. And honestly, Claudio, this is his third time in the tournament. I forgot to mention.
Only guy to do all three of them.
Yep. And I think he's been phenomenal every single year. So I'm not mad about this at all. He, you know, is. I don't think it's going to be the Claudio we've been getting. It's not going to be Death Rider Claudio. This is going to be Chikara Claudio, him versus Eddie Claudio. You know what I mean? Like, that's a version of Claudio we get.
Each year we've gotten at least one.
You think he saves it for this? You think that's what it is? Like, he knows he's going to be in every year because everybody knows.
Maybe, but each year we've gotten one really good Claudio match in this tournament.
I'd say all of his matches were pretty enjoyable, usually, but like, I
Yeah, but there's usually one that's
100%.
God damn, that was Claudio. But it was.
They built it around him and Eddie in the first one, you know, and then, and the second one, you know, obviously he's got, you know, he's going to try and win it this time.
The match that shocked us last year was him and Fletcher. It was,
what a great
it was like,
match.
Holy shit, Fletcher's doing this kind of match with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, Fletcher was really on fire last year, if we're being honest. So, I mean, he might be a favorite for this year because of that, you know what I mean? But, you know, certainly at least in his
league.
Might
have been Ospreay that I'm thinking, but either way.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
One of those two guys, and it was like, damn, that was a Claudio, okay.
No, but Claudio does have that capacity.
Claudio, hashtag back.
Like, I don't know. I could just, like, look at, like, some guys just in his – I mean, it could be him versus Cassidy, dude. I mean, I think they've had good matches before. Like, you know, it just – you never know. One that I'm so glad that is his first participation in this tournament, and it's our first non-AEW person in its tournament, and it's Moscardo Dorada. What a – first of all, brilliant choice of bringing somebody not from AEW. I'm so down. We could do that. It's, we could have three of these next year. I'm so in, you know?
Bare minimum, each year we should have one guy that's a CMLL or a New Japan guy.
And I'd like one from each if we could
so
pull it.
So fucking down. I'd
one
love
in
it.
Each league. Put one on one side and one on the other, and we see what the fuck happens. I'm so down. Imagine fucking Hiromu in this tournament, dude. Fuck. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
How cool would that be?
Anyway, we're fucking, imagine, I mean, he's been on TV recently. Imagine if they snuck Gabe Kidd into this, dude. Like, I mean, come on. You could do a lot of stuff, you know? Obviously, they have probably got plans for Gabe Kidd in New Japan, but, you know, you just, you know, there's sometimes you don't need guys, and they could definitely spare some sometimes. I even made the argument to you last night. If they threw Ishii in this tournament, I'm down, you know? Like, he's old, but he still probably puts on bangers. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
All right, for his, I believe you said, second time, Charlie, I just want to make sure I get all that right. John Moxley enters the tournament, and I don't remember, like, him, like, being, like, I remember when this was going on, he was still in his bag. So, like, I feel like he'll be in his bag again. John Moxley knows when to deliver, I feel like. So will there be matches in this where it's like, yeah, he's going to do the Death Rider thing? I'm sure. But I almost wonder if that's going to make some of these other people, especially in the Blue League, come out and sort of like try and match that sort of, you know, Death Jitsu sort of thing. Like, I don't know. We'll have to see. I think Moxley will be good in this.
Moxley idea. And Claudio.
Yeah, those matches. And I already suggested this to you off stream. Like, is this where the seeds really start to get planted, where they start to, you know, maybe Claudio
if
beats
Claudio
Moxley straight
beats
up.
Him, I mean.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
The seeds could be planted. We get another look for Marina. Oof. And another thing that could also involve Marina, you know, maybe we get an invader into the Death Riders, Charlie, in Roderick Strong. You never know. But yeah, Roderick Strong also begins this tournament. I mean, this just makes all the sense in the world. The guy is unbelievable. He honestly needs to be used more in like his singles capacity because of how fucking insane he is. Like, you just think about all the tag matches that he's in with Kyle this year, where the highlight of the match is when Roderick just goes in and goes fucking nutty mode and just decides to hit every wrestling move under the sun in like 13 seconds, you know, like,
yeah,
it looks insane and everyone sells and it's crazy, you know, and then he sells like a fucking absolute. Yeah, no, this tournament, you know what I think is super key in this tournament, too? And I feel like I don't know if I mentioned this last year, but it feels like it's something I've noticed throughout the first couple of iterations of this is. It's all in the selling of the matches. If they can sell the fuck out of each other's offense and just hit everything under the sun, like we say, you know, because you can hit every move in the book and it doesn't really mean anything. And those matches are still fun, but they are just what they are. I think somebody like Roderick Strong being in this tournament, especially with some of the people on his side of the bracket, is going to be the guy. I don't know if he's going to, you know, if he doesn't win every match, it's going to be, he could be the guy you build this thing around, you know, like, I don't know, like that.
You could have a hell of a tournament run.
Yeah, I mean, imagine, we had a guy last year, didn't we, that had like insane match after insane match, but just couldn't win, right? I mean, we could do that again. I mean, they do that in Japan a lot. Give Roddy a New Japan fucking Super Juniors run where you're having the best of matches, but you just can't pull out the wins. Anyway, yeah, so rounding out our bracket, we already had this one announced, but we didn't know which side, obviously, he was going to be on when he was announced. Although it makes all the sense in the world that he would be on the opposite side from somebody else in the tournament, and that is Konosuke Takeshita. The IWGP world champion, the future Japan GOAT, really, probably, you know. And I think the Blue League is strong, Charlie. We have, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4 first-time participants, 2 returning participants, both of whom I'm fine with because they both had good performances last year. And, I mean, do you have any thoughts on the Blue League before you take us to the gold, Charlie?
Yeah, just when we're looking at this Blue League, you know, there's a couple matches that immediately jump out to you, right? The first one that just, I see it and I'm like, give me what I want. Mascara Dorada and Konosuke Takeshita. That to me 100%. Is, that's
especially
one of those.
Especially after what Takeshita did with fucking Bandito earlier this year.
Yep,
you know, like,
that's one of those matches that really sticks out. Honestly, John Moxley versus all 5 guys. The Orange Cassidy match is going to be awesome. Claudio, you got the extra stakes of the Death Riders. Him and Mascara Dorada.
Because he beat he beat Orange twice for the title. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
So
Moxley and Roderick Strong, they're going to beat the living shit out of each other. And then you can make the same case for Takeshita. I mean, Takeshita and Roderick Strong. Like that.
Do you know
that's
what I think
of
the
a fever
match
dream match,
for this block is, dude? Takeshita versus Orange Cassidy is going to fucking feed.
Dude, families, it's going to be nuts. So I think you look at the bracket like that, and you know what I notice here with all six of these guys? There's no weak hands. There's no dead weight. There's nothing like that. And that's the theme of this fucking year's tournament. They literally went out there.
The other side too.
They went out there and got 12 guys that could win this fucking thing. And I am so glad they did that. I'm so, so glad they did that this year. So
it's gonna be like our fantasy league, bro. Every match is a fucking toss up, you know?
Yeah.
Like
sneaky. Obviously we know Dorada's gonna do impress. John Moxley's got a lot to prove. I mean, yeah, keep an eye out for someone like Roderick Strong then to kind of be the underground MVP of this round. He's probably the one that's going to be the least projected to win this. Blue League would be my guess. So keep an eye out for him to maybe really run this thing. So, all right, yeah, let's get into the Gold League. Opening us up, I'll hit the two guys that have already been announced, and that was Kyle Fletcher, which when we're making a case for a round robin tournament in AEW, Fletcher fits the bill similar to kind of Takeshita, and it's a sense of no matter who he's against, you know you're going to get an exciting match. So that's kind of a brilliant build for Kyle Fletcher, and he has Kazuchika Okada in his bracket. So yeah, that's a heavy hitter. It's Okada. They dub him the greatest tournament wrestler ever. He won it last year. He's obviously a golden threat. They did confirm it's his unified title on the line. So keep an eye out for that. I guess that adds a little more stakes to this whole damn thing, right?
Yo, what if, hear me out, the unified title goes to somebody else and Okada keeps both championships?
Right, it fucking might happen for all we know. Jeez. So obviously, Okada and Kyle Fletcher is like the perfect way to start it. So what do you do next? Oh, we're going to add Darby Allin, you know, the ultimate TV wrestler. The guy that goes on there and has like the best TV matches every fucking year. Yeah, that Darby Allin. The same one that stole the show last year at 2024. The same Darby Allin that Will Ospreay match, bro. That Ricochet match. He was unbelievable. And then one of his rivals, Brody King last year, he had a great match with too. So Darby Allin, perfect addition. Second time. All three of these guys are second time Continental Classic wrestlers. Then we announce Speedball Mike Bailey. Similar to Orange Cassidy, someone we've campaigned for this tournament because there was hopes that perhaps last year he could debut in this tournament. How insane could that have been? But Speedball Mike Bailey is obviously going to make his presence felt in this tournament. He's going to go out there and have week in and week out great fucking matches. He is a very exciting one. And his tag partner, Kevin Knight, is as well. We've seen Kevin Knight wrestle in multiple tournaments now. We know he can bring it. We know all these guys he's going to get matches against. They're going to be awesome. And how do we round it all up, Duke? We're adding Pac. Pac is our sixth wrestler here. Three Death Riders, three Don Callis family members. It makes sense given that the Don Callis family and the Death Riders really are a strong portion of AEW, that they're half the members in here. So yeah, the Gold League, Darby Allin, Speedball Mike Bailey, Kyle Fletcher, Kevin Knight, Kazuchika Okada, and Pac. Right away, the first couple matches that really stick out to me, right? Kevin Knight, Speedball Mike Bailey, give me what I want. Darby Allin versus Okada.
What does that match look like?
What does that match look like? Pac versus Okada. You know, all these guys are Speedball Mike Bailey, Duke versus Kyle Fletcher.
I mean, that match itself, that could be match of the year, straight up. I mean, I'm just
Collision
thinking right
has
now.
Has a match of the
you
year
know what, something that just occurred
still
to me was, like I said the other day, I thought Bandido had pretty much wrapped up Wrestler of the Year or whatever, right? He's not in this tournament.
Nope.
He could lose that to one of the two guys in this tournament, Knight or fucking Bailey. If they go on and put out the or Fletcher even. I mean, Fletcher's had a pretty fucking good year too. I mean, he's been really stuck with Mark Briscoe for a while, but that's not really his fault. You know what I mean? I think Fletcher probably can't, but I think Bailey or Knight because of how good of a run. I mean, I had Jetsy penciled in for Tag Team of the Year for a good portion of the year until Brodito really kind of took it and ran with it, you know? Like, and so if they have that kind of year as a tag team and then they go into this tournament and one of both of them makes it to the finals and has an insane tournament, I don't know if you can't really, you know, I don't know that they have enough to beat Bandido out at this point because the performances across both Ring of Honor and AEW, but I mean, there's, I mean, if every match in this tournament is a banger with these guys, you just, you know, that's the difference. It's like there's about to be six at least matches for these guys in a row that are all going to be bangers. That is enough of a catalog to be a wrestler of the year, in my opinion, if you already have other matches under your belt that are pretty good, you know? Like, Bandido not being in this, and I'm going to say why. He probably is still dealing with his shoulder, right? So he probably needs some time off right now because he was doing the champion thing, but now he's they're done with that, so we can take a little bit of time. So I'm fine with that. But for his case for Wrestler of the Year, it's an interesting conversation that we can have now, you know? Like,
I think this is our strongest year yet because I don't think there's any... Because if you're trying to look at it, who's the lowest wrestler on the totem pole? Who is the lowest? Is it Roddy? Is if Roddy's our lowest or Claudio's our lowest, yeah, forget about it. You fucking nailed it. Is it Kevin Knight? Just because he's so young? If it's Kevin Knight, yeah, let's fucking go. So I think this is in terms of we brought big, big heavy hitters. The other thing you had for the Gold League before we give some predictions here?
I really am interested in Pac versus Speedball. That match is going to be insane.
Yeah. Yeah,
and Fletcher versus Pac. I mean, those matches. I mean, that's not a match you don't even know that you're ever going to be able to have because of the two factions that they're in, and that they don't really. They're both heels. But like, I think that's the cool thing about the Gold League is we're getting a lot of matches that we wouldn't necessarily get because of who's aligned with who. You know, like so, like Jesus. I said, yeah, there's a lot of matches on here. I mean, what does Darby Allin do with a guy like Speedball? You know, like
I can't wait to see it. And we're gonna have one of these matches even each and every single week. So. Yeah, there's going to be some special fucking matchups here. I guess let's just jump into our playoff predictions, if you will. So what we'll do here is we'll predict Blue League 1 and Blue League 2 and then Gold League 1 and Gold League 2. We'll let you take the reins here. Where are you kind of leading right now with your what's your gut telling you how this tournament's going to play out?
So looking at, I mean, okay, so we always have this thing where like there's the obvious two in the Gold and Blue League finals. And I think based on the way this tournament was set up at the pay-per-view, you know that you're getting Takeshita and Okada as two of your finalists. I think that just makes sense. They're probably facing each other. I'm not sure if I'll get there yet. And then you look at the rest of the field, right? Who do I think would have the best finals match with Takeshita out of this group? It's tough because it depends on how the tournament plays out, right? I think if you want to go for the bangeriest of banger matches, it's either going to be Dorada or Strong, right? Maybe Orange Cassidy. So I think my two finalists, I'm just off the top of my head, I'm just going to throw Roderick Strong in there because I think he's got enough of a resume of a wrestler and he really hasn't done a ton other than the international championship in singles. So, I mean, this could be a situation where you get him to the finals and he loses, but he has a really strong performance throughout the tournament. And Takeshita ultimately just is too strong of a force to overcome, you know?
Yeah.
It could be Claudio that he's facing. I guess that's my big, I don't know. I know Takeshita's facing somebody. I'm not entirely sure who it's going to be. But my gut tells me Roderick Strong for some reason. I don't know why. That just feels right. And in the other league, obviously, I mentioned Okada. I think Okada-Fletcher for your finals is fucking going to be insane. And I think that's what you go with, you know?
Yeah.
So
okay, so you have Takeshita and Okada in the final match?
Yes.
Okay, so save that one right there.
Yeah.
So I'm with you on a couple of these guys. Blue League. So here's what I'll say first. I think Takeshita and Okada both finish at the 2 seed. Okay. I don't think either of them win their leagues. Okay? That's what my gut tells me.
It's a tougher tournament. That's completely fair. You know?
Yes, I think they both finish at the 2 seed. So who finishes at the 1? For the Blue League, I feel much more confident about Blue than Gold. Gold, I'm having a tougher time. Blue League, I think Claudio's finishing in the 1 seed. I think Claudio takes the 1 seed.
He was pretty high in his league last year, wasn't he, toward the end? Or was that the previous year? I know one of the years
he was in.
He's
usually a bracket buster. So he's usually
he was
like
he was
top
in the
three.
Final the first year as a triple threat, I think. And then he was, I think, the second or third seed, or first or second seed in the last tournament, I think. So he always has a strong performance. I guess I might be underrating him a little bit because I think at the field.
I think following Full Gear, if we did this before Full Gear, I wouldn't have predicted this. Following Full Gear, I think Claudio wins the Blue League, technically, with Takeshita at number 2. And then the Gold League, I'm really struggling with first place because I can make a case for Darby. I can make a case for Kyle and I can make a case for Pac. I don't think Kevin Knight or Speedball Mike Bailey are getting first place in this, and I think Okada is getting second place. So my gut is telling me right now, I don't, maybe I'm looking too much into Full Gear, but I think Pac's winning the Gold League. So then it's going to set up Claudio versus Okada and Takeshita versus Pac at the pay-per-view. And then I'm with you. We have the same final, Takeshita versus Okada. So I guess that being said, we have the same final. Yeah. Sometimes it's obvious, but sometimes that's okay. I'm always open for a surprise, though. But I think that's perfectly okay. Who do you have taking this whole thing? Okada times two?
I think AEW realizes that there was a warning shot fired from the naval war cannon on the deck of the ship at AEW when they gave Takeshita the IWGP championship. They said, watch yourself. You're going to lose this guy if you're not careful. You know? I'm not saying this is like, you have to do this because you're going to lose Takeshita. I think it's smart fucking booking, because you've had Okada as this dominant force in Japan, and he's sort of been the antithesis to Takeshita. He's sort of been taking him sort of back the way we've been wanting him to go for a while, Charlie, which is almost taking him back to being a babyface almost, you know, like,
yeah,
he's not there yet, but the work can be done, you know? So if that's the angle they're going with, if they're turning Takeshita, or even if they're not, they're just turning him on the Don Callis family, right? I think you have to have Takeshita beat him. I think you have to do it.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if Takeshita's there yet. I'm not sure, but in my mind, that's what I would want to happen. That's what I'll be rooting for in the finals, for sure.
I think the temptation of having Okada win this is very strong, right? The idea of having him be a two-time Continental Classic winner, it's very strong. And Okada's only getting more comfortable and only getting better. He's finding himself in completely different roles than he was last year at this time, right? So he's only getting stronger in this new role that he's doing. But I think I actually not only do I want it, I think they see the potential as well in having Takeshita win this and launching the full blown civil war and the Don Callis family. So the other reason I wanted to add this too, that I had Pac and Claudio both winning the league, was A, I knew that they weren't going to be in the finals. So I feel confident that, because we see Tony Khan do this a lot, the person that, you know, because he knows Pac and Claudio aren't going to be the final match, he giving them the award of technically winning the league, you know, winning the ladder, if you will, it's still a good reward. It's going to look good at the end of the day. And the fact that they're both going to place in first place, and Moxley, I think, could place in fifth or sixth. You can already see where that's going to go. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, making their case to Danny, to Wheeler, to Marina, like, hey, look, kind of put the old man down. So we both got Takeshita winning. I feel very confident about that. I feel really good about the final being Takeshita and Okada. Yeah, is it obvious? Sure, but who cares, right? Sometimes that's, we thought that last year too, though, to be fair.
Of course, yeah.
We at a certain point, we thought the tournament it felt like they were going to just run Takeshita and Okada, and they never did. So now they're in the tournaments. They're on opposite brackets. Yeah. Unfortunately, did you have Fletcher? You had Fletcher at 1 and 2, right? Fletcher wrestling at World's End. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it, but yeah, I could see Fletcher missing out on that in this scenario.
I mean, it really depends on who's champion at World's End. You know what I mean? Like, and by that I mean world champion, because you could have Kyle, you know, wanting to do that depending on what.
Yeah,
goes
but
on
he's
going to
wrestle through this whole tournament and then, you know, get there. So. Yeah, this is good. This is a really, really good year on paper. I can't wait to see when it's all said and done. Look, it could just be maybe Okada doesn't even make the final. Like, there's a scenario where they just straight up do that. Is it likely? No. At least have him lose at World's End and then create chaos, and you could have Takeshita versus Fletcher in the final, right? There's a scenario where that is, but I do think Okada is the only one I would be like, guarantee lock for the top two, just to get him at wrestling at the pay-per-view to add those heightened dramatics, or else why would you do the whole pay-per-view thing?
I you know something we also I don't think I've considered, like, we haven't talked about Dorada at all. He could go on, like, a ridiculous run in this tournament and end up in the finals, you know? And that could be, you know, the way that you know, it could be Takeshita versus Dorada, and Dorada might win that match. You know, like, that's, like, if it gets to that point, if it's, like, somebody like Dorada or somebody like Orange Cassidy versus Takeshita, you have to start considering that Takeshita isn't always going to win all of these matches.
No.
He's, you know.
And he currently is holding another massive title, so.
Yeah, so he doesn't even need this fucking tournament right now. In fact, the tournament benefits from having him more than anything, I think, you know. So it's like, I mean, it's like, yeah, there's a lot of ways this could go. I think once we actually start seeing some of, like, that, once we're a couple weeks in and we start to see who's winning and who's, you know, obviously that can change on a dime, but I think once we start getting a little bit deeper and we start seeing who's got points and what the storylines are looking to be, because this is, and I'll give AW this credit, it feels so much more like the Super Juniors than even any other New Japan tournament does, because you have these sections where people will be in the lead briefly, but then they'll fall back out. I think he truly modeled this off to the Super Juniors more than he did after the G1 or the, you know, New Japan Cup, because it has that fucking flavor of excitement for multiple weeks on end. There's not a single match in the Super Juniors tournament that you're not at least a little bit excited for. Even the ones on paper that you're like, you're like, but they're going to do something crazy because all these matches
matter. They will. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, another scenario, let me toss this out. You could still have Takeshita and Okada wrestle at World's End. Just have one of them the one seed, one of them the two seed. And then they're wrestling no matter what. And I think that could set up a scenario where perhaps, I mean, because my favorite, if it's not those two, is Claudio. So if you set up a scenario then where Okada faces Takeshita, Okada beats Takeshita, and then say Claudio beats Kyle Fletcher, and you have Claudio Okada final, I could see Claudio winning that. That could be a massive moment for Claudio. It would be a really big shift in the Death Riders, and you could just do the whole damn thing that night if you wanted to.
100%. You could have Moxley come out to celebrate, and then Marina takes him in the balls or something, you know?
Yep. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm really riding high on Claudio right now. That's the definite dark horse I got for this right now.
Is Pac like the Gold League dark horse? Could he, like, win the whole thing?
He might be as much as Claudio, but I think the third, Claudio being in this all three times, Claudio getting the Daniel Garcia seeking his approval during the pay-per-view. I just feel like there's a little bit of an edge. But at the same time, Pac was able to recruit Wheeler Yuta to help him win, right? So, and typically it's like, hey, showing him, hey, man, you don't need the other guy.
Any predictions for, like, tournament MVP? I mean, obviously Takeshita Okada could do some crazy shit, but, like, I'm thinking, like, Knight, Fletcher, Bailey, those are, and maybe Darby Allin, like, all those guys could potentially have all the best matches in the tournament, you know, like, but that's the crazy thing. You look at the whole list, they're all capable of having that, so, you know.
I think tournament MVP is going to be nice and easy. It's just going to be Takeshita.
I mean, it should be if he's going
to
win.
I think Takeshita is, when it comes to this type of tournament, I can't wait to see him in it. I just can't fucking wait. It's going to be fucking cool.
I hope it's, like, a developing thing, too, where, like, he wins, but then maybe he loses a couple matches or something like that. Like, you know, everyone's like, oh, my God, is Takeshita not going to do this? And then it's, like, how it was with Kosei Fujita, where, like, everyone realized it, like, 3 weeks in. They were, like, or, like, three matches in, whatever you want to say. Like, they were like, oh, my God, this guy's going to go on a run, but we don't know. Is he going to outlast all these other guys? And then he just became him, you know? If Takeshita becomes him throughout this tournament, it could be awesome to watch. I mean, it's going to be awesome to watch anyway, but that could be. I mean, that could be,
because I just think of the three-way at All Out, you know, with Takeshita, Okada, and Dorada. It's like that might, what do these matches look like in a one-on-one scenario? I don't know, and I can't wait to see. It's gonna be awesome. They clearly like wrestling this guy, so yeah, he's gonna surprise a lot of people too. So yeah, guys, thank you so much for checking out our show today. Some Eat Sleep Elite, some Continental Classic. If you're on Spotify or Blue Sky, hey, write to us. Let us know, what do you think is happening in the C2 this year? If you want to just,
who are you rooting for?
Yeah.
Who do you got winning? Who are you rooting for if those happen to be different? You know, and is there, who are your dark horses? Who do you, basically everything we talked about, anything you want to add in too, if there's something we didn't talk about that you think is an angle we should consider about this, you know? Like, give us your, like, having seen it, what your favorite match is on paper. You know, I could give a couple right now. I mean, I still go back to the Bailey and Knight thing. That might be match of the year.
It's going to be a special match.
Yeah, so give us all that information in the comments below or in the podcast platform of your choice, comments, or, whatever.
Let us know if, because this is one of the more.
Is Okada washed?
What would that look like if he gets, like, sixth place in his bracket? Like, what? Think of the booking potential of that. Yeah.
I don't think we've ever seen Okada in a position like that in his career. Would you want to be? You know, like.
That's why it's still so cool he's holding a non-world title singles belt, because that didn't happen in Japan. So it was world title or bust for him. So it's kind of neat. Thank you guys for checking this out, and we will catch you guys next week when we talk about the opening matches, baby!
Tom Freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a